You're listening to a message from New Life Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Morning. Hey, do me a favor. Smile at me, would you? Make me feel comfortable, would you? All right, good. Some of you are all right with it. Some of you are thinking, wow, this is a little creepy. But now do this. Smile at the person next to you, okay? Do that. Awkward, a little awkward. It is, isn't it? Man, we just want you to get to know each other a little more. We're just celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is so good. He's good to me. He's good to you, and we're glad that you're here. Let me ask you a question this morning. What are some things that are difficult for you to find around the house? What are those things you keep missing, you keep losing? Go ahead, shout a few of those things out. I see some of you smiling. Phones, keys, what else? Louder. The remote. Yeah, there you go. How about over here? I heard some over there. What over here? What? Glasses. You have them right there. All right, good. They're right there. All right, glasses. Yeah, there are a lot of things. You know, I lose a lot of things around my house. So I brought a few of those things with me today. One was mentioned. I can never, this is priority. It's a remote. You don't want to lose your remote. And glasses is the other thing. And you know, what's funny for me is that I'll be looking for my glasses and they'll be right here. And I'll be asking my wife, where are my glasses? And she'll go, duh. You know, they're right there on your forehead. There are a lot of things. I mean, I was looking at the room. I have sunglasses, a phone, keys. I can't find my wallet, so I must have lost my wallet again. But the thing, now I think most guys will identify with this. I think you will. I have a hard time finding this item. I mean, every single time I go looking for it, I have a hard time finding it. And it's ketchup, man. I can't find the ketchup. And I don't know how my wife knows where it is. I mean, I'll be standing in front of the kitchen refrigerator. It's open, and she knows I'm there. She hears me, and I'm looking, and I'm standing there, and I'm not saying anything because I don't want to say, where's the ketchup? I want to find it. And after a while, I say, honey, where's the ketchup? You know what she says to me? She goes, it's on the inside door, the third row down behind the Thousand Island. And I'm thinking, how do you know that? How do you know that? I want to introduce you to a group of people this morning, this Easter story, who are having a hard time finding someone they think is missing. And it's out of the Gospel of John, chapter 20, and it's a beautiful story. And I want you to follow along with me. It goes like this. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and she saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon and Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." And so Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and he looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, he came along behind him, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separated from the linen. And finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still didn't understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to where they were staying. And now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over and she looked into the tomb and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord," she said. "And I don't know where they've put him." And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned to him and she cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father. Go to my God and to your God." And Mary Magdalene, she went to the disciples with the news. She said, "I have seen the Lord," she told them, "that he had said all of these things." Wow, this is an amazing story. Did you notice how much running there is in this Easter story? This is a breathless passage with sweaty feet all over it. Everybody's running and it's hard to keep up with them. You don't have a lot of running in the Bible. You really don't. You don't have a lot of running in the Gospels. But in this one paragraph, everyone seems to be moving at lightning speed. So why all the running? You know, if you were to put yourself in this story, it would feel more like being in a foot race than in a cemetery. I see running in a lot of places, but not very much in a cemetery. Cemeteries are places that you take your time. Cemeteries are places where you walk slowly, you walk carefully. We walk through the tablets of memory with a thoughtful reverence. But no one goes running, not in cemeteries, they don't. What is it about this first Easter morning that sent people running in the cemetery? I see people running in the morning on my way to work. Honestly, I have to tell you, it doesn't look like they're having much fun. I look on their faces and there's the face of pain and they grimace and they grunt and some struggle. And the first thing I think about is, man, you should have just stayed in bed this morning. It would have worked for you. Just stay in bed. You know, they're trying to keep their heart rate up and their waistline down. Their motto is no pain, no gain. Some of you here this morning, aren't you? I see people running in a lot of different places. I see people running in airports trying to catch their next flight. I see parents running back and forth from one event to the other. There's just a lot of running. And the people running through the cemetery in John chapter 20, what you need to know about them is they have feet that were wounded, feet that were scarred by all kinds of life experiences. And the question that they're desperate to answer is, where is Jesus? And each one responds to the resurrection in a different way. And when you hear their stories and their narrative, when you get a glimpse into their life this morning, maybe you'll see your story as well. Maybe you'll see your face in this first Easter story. Let me tell you where it begins. It begins, first of all, with the disciple whom Jesus loved. Isn't that a pretty cool nickname? I mean, the disciple that Jesus loved. We know this man to be the disciple John, and he's really close to Jesus, really close to Jesus. When Jesus would pull his core group of disciples together, it would always be Peter, James, and John. At the Last Supper, John is so close to Jesus that he whispers, "Who is it that will betray you?" At the cross, he stays close to Jesus when so many other of the disciples took off running to take cover. And Jesus tells him, "Take my mother home with you. Let her be your mother, you be her son." He was close. But on Easter morning, John is in a foot race with Peter because he hears the news that the tomb is empty, and John gets there first. I'm not sure why he gets there first. I mean, I have some ideas. Maybe he's just in better shape. Maybe he's a whole lot younger. But he's quicker than Peter. He's quicker in more ways than one. He's quicker of faith. John gets to the tomb first, but he doesn't go in. He just simply stays outside. And he looks inside and sees the linen cloth. And he paused to reflect. And then this phrase, and it's a beautiful phrase. It simply says that he saw and believed. That's amazing. He didn't need a lot of proof. He didn't need to touch Jesus' scarred hands and side. It didn't take much for him to answer the question, "Where is Jesus?" Just an announcement, just a whisper from the empty tomb, and he believed Jesus had risen. I think there are probably some people like John here today. You believe like this disciple believed. You don't struggle. You don't labor about your faith. Answering the question, "Where is Jesus?" comes easy for you. On Easter morning, you wake up and you say, "He is risen. He's risen indeed." Now, please hear me about this. This doesn't mean that life has been easy for you, that you haven't faced difficult times. It means that you see the empty tomb, you believe that's who you are, that's the way that you're wired. This is how you live. When God moves in your life, when He heals, when He provides for you, you say, and you're the first to say, that's my Jesus, He's risen. This is a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Make no mistake, people who believe like this are not naive. They're not unplugged from the world. They're not uneducated. People like this are blessed. It's a gift. In fact, if it weren't for people of great faith in my life, I'm not sure that I would be here today. People who pray, who believe, who hope, and they hope for you when it's hard to hope for yourself. And so to all the beloved disciples in this room today, on behalf of everyone else, we want to say to you, thank you. Thank you for believing. Thank you for hoping. Thank you for praying. And I'm going to say this to you. If you're not like the beloved disciple, then you need to have the beloved disciples around you who will encourage you. You need people like this in your life. And when I read this first Easter story, what I find is that you're in this story. Beloved disciples, your face is in this story. But not everyone comes to faith like John. In fact, in all four Gospels, there is only one who saw and believed, John the Beloved. No one else did. Peter walked into the tomb. He saw the same thing John saw. He walked away, scratching his head, still doubting and wondering, where is Jesus? Where did Jesus go? There might be some here this morning, and you look around you and you look into this room and everyone's excited and they're celebrating and they're lifting their hands and they're saying He is risen, and you're thinking to yourself, why don't I feel that way? Why don't I respond that way? You have a lot of questions, a lot of things that you're not sure about. Well, guess what? You're in this story too, and you don't have to be like John the Beloved. You don't have to believe like he believes. You don't have to pretend that you're like him. You can be who you are. Peter comes in and he sees all of this, but Peter is a man's man. Peter is a fisherman. He knows all the dirty jokes. He cusses with the best of them. I mean, he can hang out with some pretty raunchy folks. He's just turned his back on Jesus. He's denied him three times, and now he's consumed with guilt and brokenness. And even though he ran to the tomb with this glimmer of hope, he knows that when you're dead, you're dead. He knows that when it's over, it's over. There's nothing else after life. You see, on that day, something died in Peter when Jesus died. There are many who struggle with faith in the resurrection because your experience doesn't give you any evidence of that. For you, coming to faith is not simple or easy or natural. I want you to know that Jesus Christ not only came back, but he came back for Peter, especially Peter. I love what it says in Mark chapter 16, another account of the resurrection. When the story is told, it's the angels, they tell Mary, go back and tell the disciples and Peter. Listen, Peter believed that if anyone wasn't getting an invitation to the resurrection party, it was him. If he was being excluded, it would have been him. If anyone was going to be cast out, it would have been him. Easter is to say that he is risen, and he came back especially for people who believe that he couldn't come back for them. He came back for the Peters. And when he did come back, Jesus didn't scold Peter. He didn't say, I told you so. I knew you would fail. He came back to tell Peter, I love you. He came back to say, your failure wasn't the end. He came back to say, you can't run far enough, curse enough, deny enough, that my love cannot reach you. Jesus said, Peter, I came back for you, and it may take you a little while for you to get there. It may take you a while to catch up with the resurrection, but I came back for you, Peter. Jesus called Peter to a new life beyond his failure. And to all the Peters here today, Jesus came back to say, your failure is not final. That your failures do not define you. For you, answering the question, where is Jesus, doesn't come easy. It's a struggle, but it's your journey. It's your faith. No one else can do it for you. The Johns cannot do it for you. The beloved disciples around you can't do it for you. Your parents, your grandparents, they can't do it for you. It's your journey. It's your faith. Several years ago, we had a tradition in our family, and after the Easter services that we had here at New Life, we would get all the family together, cousins, grandkids, everybody. I mean, it's a motley group. We had come together to have a big Easter egg hunt. And you know where we did it? We did it right here. You're kind of sitting right over the top of where we did it. This wasn't here a long time ago, and so we'd have this big Easter egg hunt. We'd put out all these Easter eggs. You could see most of them. They're little kids. And we put out the Easter eggs, and we would get them all together, and we would say, 1, 2, 3, go. They'd head out and just start grabbing all the Easter eggs. My daughter at the time was 3 years old, and I saw her struggling, you know. And here's Daddy watching his little girl just struggle. She's not getting to the Easter eggs fast enough. I mean, her brothers are racing her, and she is behind, and they're running fast, and they're filling their baskets with a lot of Easter eggs. And I thought, I got to do something. I mean, I was kind of getting angry. You know, I was getting a little ticked off. I saw this going on. So I just went over and I just started stealing eggs from the boys' baskets and putting them into my little girl's basket as fast as I could. She was crying because she didn't have any eggs. And then when I did all of that, I thought I was proud of myself. You know, and I looked down at her and she was still crying. And I said, baby girl, why are you still crying? I mean, your basket is full. And she said this. She said, I wanted to find them myself. She didn't want just a full basket. She wanted the joy of finding them herself. Remember, Peters, no one else can fill your basket. No one else can do this for you. It's your journey. Let Jesus guide you. He is patient. He is wise. He will fill your basket of faith. Now, there's one last person in the Easter story that I want to tell you about. Her name is Mary of Magdala. And when she went to the tomb, she didn't go to witness a resurrection. She didn't go there to celebrate. She went to mourn. She was going there to do a wake. She didn't get Easter, not because of guilt or doubt like Peter. She didn't get it because of grief. Are there any Marys here today? Male, female? And all this stuff about the resurrection and celebration is difficult for you. It's just difficult for you to even be here in this room. You're carrying a whole lot of grief into this Easter morning. Maybe it's the loss of someone that you love. Maybe it's a relationship that just died. Maybe it's a dream that was just buried. So you're grieving the loss of something or someone that's very, very special to you today. It's interesting because this gospel account of the resurrection is the only one telling us that Mary came to the tomb while it was still dark. All the other gospel accounts say that the sun was up. It was morning time. This one doesn't. It says it was still dark. But it wasn't only dark on the outside. It was dark on the inside. Mary's heart was shrouded with grief. Her grief is a shade over her faith, so much so that even when Jesus appeared to her, she didn't know it. She didn't recognize him. She thought he was the gardener. One of my favorite shows of all times is Funniest Home Videos. I don't know how many have watched that, but I watched it about a week or so ago, and I just love it. I love watching it. We used to watch it with our kids. Now we watch it with our grandkids, and it is a blast. And I was watching this one video clip of all these Easter eggs laid out. They were getting ready. This family was getting ready for a big shindig, and they had all the Easter eggs laid out on the lawn. And mom's taking a picture of all these Easter eggs, and from the right of the frame walks the family dog into the picture, and that family dog just starts taking each Easter egg. I mean, it's just grabbing Easter eggs, and it's running off as fast as it could. And you can hear mom saying, oh no, the dog's taking the Easter eggs. As soon as I saw that, I thought to myself, that dog came to reverse Easter. What's that dog doing? Came to put him back in the tomb. I was thinking about all the kids and how disappointed they would be if they came out and all the eggs were gone. They'd be asking the question, where did the eggs go? Mrs. Mary, she comes to Easter and says he's gone. Someone has taken him. Where is Jesus? And the very one talking to her is him. And those who today feel far from Jesus, you feel disconnected, that grief has made you feel like you're on the opposite planet as Christ. Let me say this to you, he's the one who's here. He's the one that stands before you right now. He is closer to you than you think. But Mary couldn't see Jesus until he called her name. He just simply spoke one word that made all the difference in the world. He just simply said, Mary. You know, when you're in a dark place, when you're confused, when you don't have direction in life, I think the most comforting thing that you can hear is your name. To hear your name called. Today, Jesus knows your name. He knows what it takes to bring you from your darkness into his light. You know, this last week I was struggling with Easter. Some of you are thinking, pastors struggle with Easter? All the time, folks, all the time. Because I want to own it. I want it to be part of my celebration. I was struggling to communicate or how to communicate the Easter message. How do I share this good news? I was running from one thing to another. You could say that I was having my where is Jesus moment. And then something happened to me. Thursday morning, I heard my little grandson waking up in his crib, and so walking up the stairs to his room, I was still preoccupied. I was still burdened with the days that were ahead of me. And I opened his bedroom door, and I said, "Where's Nehemiah?" And then I do this real low voice that he likes. I say, "Where's my little man?" Kind of weird, isn't it? But that's what I do. I do that. And he heard me, and when he heard his name, and he saw my face, he broke out in the biggest joy-filled, carefree smile anyone could break out in. He knew someone was coming for him, that someone loved him. You know, it occurred to me at that moment, when was the last time there was that kind of joy on my face? When was the last time you smiled like that? When was the last time your heart was so full of God's joy that you just smiled? Maybe it's because we're adults and we're just not happy anymore. That we're running from one thing to another, not as carefree as we ought to be. You see, until we get a hold of Easter, or Easter gets a hold of us, we're running to find purpose. We're running to find meaning. We're asking the question, where's Jesus? All the while, Jesus has come for you. All the while, he is calling your name. You may be a Peter struggling today. Yeah, skepticism, doubt, all those kinds of things. I get it. It's your journey. But Jesus is there. You may be Mary today, and man, you are just having a hard time keeping your head up. So many things in life and loss has just buried you. You can't see. You can't see what's standing right in front of you. Jesus is there. He's calling your name. He's right there. He's risen. Would you bow your head with me? Would you do that? I'm going to invite our worship team to come forward. And I just want to take just a moment of your time to ask that question, where is Jesus? And that you would personalize that. that you would say, well, I believe in Jesus. I'm more like a Peter. I struggle, though. That's all right. Jesus is there. You may be here and you're saying, well, I'm kind of like Mary today. I have a lot of grief and it's hard to get over and it's just hard to see Jesus. He's there for you as well. But you may be here and you've never answered that question. I mean, really answered the question, where is Jesus? As far as your salvation is concerned, as far as a relationship with Jesus Christ is concerned. And I want to give you an opportunity today to answer that question for yourself. Because he's right here. He's risen. And he changes our lives. He's changed my life. And I'm so thankful for that. So I'm going to ask that we do this. I'm going to ask that we all pray together. And really, it's a prayer of surrender, a prayer of salvation, to where we're saying, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Come into my world and change me. And I'm going to ask that all of us pray this. But if you're here and that's the prayer that you really need to pray today, to make it right, just to answer the question, where is Jesus? You pray that prayer. You pray that prayer today with everyone else. And when we're finished praying, I'm going to just pause for a moment, and still with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, I'm just going to ask you, if you prayed that prayer, just to lift your hand as a way of confession, saying, yeah, I prayed that prayer today just to receive Christ in my heart. And I'll tell you, your world changes. The old is gone, the new has come when Jesus comes into our lives. Pray with me, would you? The prayer just simply goes like this. Dear Jesus, I need you in my life today. I've been searching, I've been asking, where is Jesus? And today I recognize he's right here. I don't want him on the outside anymore. I want him on the inside. So Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins today. Give me that new life. The old is gone, the new has come. I receive you today. I receive the gift of life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.